Well, it is a new year, and I am having a lot of problems with the tech today, but that's all right. We are in a new year, and we have a new sermon series, and the sermon series is called The Answer for Life. And we're going to be going through some books that the Apostle Paul wrote many, many years ago, and we're going to be going through four specific books, and I'm still deciding how long we're going to take to do this, but we're going to go through the four books: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And the easy way to remember these four books is just to remember God's Electric Power Company, GEPC. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, God's Electric Power Company. Some people like to use something like God Eats Popcorn, but I prefer God's Electric Power Company. We're going to be talking about how through this sermon series and through this bigger sermon series called Gospel and Life, we're going to talk about how the gospel actually can be applied and is actually very applicable for our everyday lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking about throughout most of this year. We're going to be talking about how trusting in the gospel actually leads us to a life where we want to serve other people, where we want to share God's love with other people. And so that's what we'll be talking about. And we're going to first go through the book of Galatians. And today's title is True Christianity. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 1. We have a pretty long passage today. We'll be looking at verses 1 to chapter 2, verse 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to ask you to open up your Bibles. And because we do have a fairly long passage today, I'm not going to be going through every single verse. I'll be summarizing certain sections. But it'll be really great if you have your Bibles open with us so that you can just look at the passages and refer to the things that I'm talking about. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 972. Again, we're looking at Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and we'll go to chapter 2, verse 10. This is the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Or am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who you seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised, worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Amen. I wanted to ask this morning, and especially to you that are believers in Jesus Christ, can a person be sure that they will be going to heaven? When we go through our membership interviews, when we have people fill out the membership application, there's a question in there that asks, are you sure today that if you die that you'll be going into heaven? And we get various answers from different people. And so I want to ask you today, can a person be sure that they are going to heaven? Or let's be a little bit more practical for today. Can a person be sure that God is happy with them today? Can you be sure that God is happy with you today? If you're not sure, maybe you're falling into believing in a false version of Christianity. Okay? If you're not sure of your salvation, or if you're not sure of God's pleasure with you, you might be, I'm not saying it's definitely sure, but you might be falling into a false version of Christianity. Or you might be falling victim to other people's teachings of a false version of Christianity. Maybe some people have taught you a certain way in previous churches, or you've looked at some videos of certain pastors online and you've heard them preach in a certain way, but actually what they're teaching and what they emphasize is actually a false version of Christianity. And so the main idea for today is this. Believe in true Christianity. It's a simple idea, but we're going to explore this idea of what true Christianity actually is. We're going to go through 3 points. Number one, false Christianity. Number two, true Christianity. And number three, believe. So let's start with this first one, false Christianity. As we look at the beginning portion of our passage today, we're going to skip over to verse 6. And Paul says to the people, he's writing this letter to the people in Galatia. Now, just real quick, Galatia is not just one city. It's actually a whole region. There are multiple cities that are included in the region of Galatia. And so when you look through the book of Acts and you see how Paul was traveling, you see that Paul goes to an island first, And then he goes to another area, and that whole area, it talks about how he goes to different cities, but that whole area was known to be the region of Galatia. And so these are the people that Paul, when he went on his first missionary journey, these are the people that he's talking to. The first people that he went out and shared the gospel with when he left the church in Antioch and started traveling to other places. And he writes to them and says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And then he goes on to say, he says, it's not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. You see, what Paul is saying here is that I'm just astonished that you are so quickly to turning to some different version of Christianity, to some different version of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel we understand to be good news. What is the meaning of gospel? The word gospel. It means good news. And Paul is saying, you guys are turning away from this good news so quickly. Not that there is another gospel, not that there is another good news, but you have been turning away, and there are these other people that are troubling you and distorting what the original good news is really all about. Now, how do they distort this gospel? What is the false version of Christianity that we might see other people teach? Or what is the false version of Christianity that maybe some of us may even possibly believe? Let's look at that a little bit. We're going to talk about motivations to a false gospel and what that may look like. The first one is seeking approval of people. Okay? When you live your Christian life, you need to ask yourselves, we need to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church? Why do we obey the commands of God? Why do we follow the commands of Jesus Christ? Why do we do what we do? Is it possibly to receive approval from other people? Now, Paul wants to make a case to say, look, I'm presenting to you the actual gospel, and I'm not sharing you with you this good news to try to get approval from other people. That's not my motivation. This is what he says. He says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, he says this about himself, but the people in Galatia, in the whole region of Galatia, they were being troubled by a group of people that are called the Judaizers. The Judaizers, they were actually Christians. Christians who were Jews. And when they first heard the gospel, they believed themselves. But they also believed that we needed to hold on to the teachings of Moses, and we need to hold on to the law that's found in the Old Testament. Not just the Ten Commandments that really helps us and instructs us today, but they talk about how we need to follow every single law that's found in the Old Testament. And so they really emphasize circumcision. That's what the Judaizers did. So let's see what Paul says about the Judaizers. It says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So there are some people that kept on teaching, you need to be circumcised in order for you to be a true Christian, in order for you to be a person that really follows Jesus Christ. You need to follow the Old Testament laws and be circumcised. And then there are some other people that heard what these people were teaching, and they were afraid that they were going to be persecuted by them. There's this peer pressure where they said, if I don't get circumcised or if I don't uphold this law, then these people are going to say that I'm not a Christian anymore. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. Those people that didn't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so what do they do? they want to make a good showing. They want to receive the approval of people. You see, a false gospel is to say something like, if I were to follow God's commands, if I were to live a good life, then finally there will be people that approve of me, that like me. Just one example is something like, and it doesn't even have to be in relation to our relationship with God. But if you ever said something like, I need to make sure that I take out the trash today in order to receive approval from my wife. What you're basically saying is something like, I believe that approval from my wife is something that's so important, I'm going to go and do something to make sure that I get that approval. And that approval is what's going to make me happy. If I can only throw out the trash, then I will be happy. But what if you don't? Or what if you threw out the trash and your wife said, you forgot that other trash over there? Or what if you threw out the trash and for some reason your wife is still upset about something and you're still wondering what she's upset about? What do you do then? You see, sometimes we put all of our hopes into receiving the approval of someone, and we believe that that's what will bring us happiness. That's when we will feel blessed. Well, what's another false gospel? A false good news. Another one is the desire to feel important. If I can just show that I am able to do something well enough, then finally people will be able to see that I'm an important person, and I myself will be happy that I feel like an important person. Galatians 1 verses 11 to 12 says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Later in the chapter it says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And it says, I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. So what is Paul trying to say here? What Paul is trying to say is that I actually received the gospel not from people, but I received it from God himself. Jesus Christ appeared to me himself, and he's the one that gave me this gospel, the true Christianity that I'm trying to point out today. You know, if some of us were Paul, some of us may want to make a claim that we actually have a relationship with the apostles in Jerusalem, because they actually were there with Jesus. They were the ones that were with Jesus for 3 years. They actually saw Jesus die and rise again. And so these people are the important people. And so what Paul may have wanted to do is to say something like, I got this gospel from those important people, and I have a relationship with them. And I am important also, and I brought you this gospel, and it's not just mine. These important people that I'm associated with, they are approving of this gospel also. And I know them, and they told me this. It would be very easy for us to do something like that, to say that because of my relationship with someone, my connections with someone, my 关系, right? My relation with someone, that's what makes me important. It's kind of like someone that says, oh yeah, you know, my cousins, brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, dogs, mother's owner is Tsai Ing-wen. And I have that connection with the president of Taiwan. Right? Because of that strange connection, you feel important all of a sudden. Paul could have done that. See, what's a false gospel? A false gospel is to say that, you know, that's right. I am Presbyterian. That's what makes me important. That's right. I am a Baptist. I've studied the Bible so well. That's right. I grew up in a politician's home. That's right. I am Korean. Or I am American. That's right. And to find some reason why you feel you're important. And to say, if I can only find that reason, if I can only make my business successful, if I can only be a good parent to my children and my children turn out to be great people one day, if I can only do this, then that's what will make me happy. The good news is that if I try hard, then things will work out and I'll be happy. That's that false gospel. Let's go on to the last one. Motivations to a false gospel. Showing your worth through deeds. You see, maybe you've already noticed, but all of these are all connected. Well, let's see what it says. In Galatians chapter 2, in our passage today, verses 2 to 4, it says this. I went up because of a revelation, went up to Jerusalem and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Here we see Paul's humility, his humbleness. He actually says he went up to Jerusalem and he wanted to confirm with the apostles that are in Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind, this is many, many years after, not just 3 years, not just 5 years. This is many years after that Paul finally goes to Jerusalem and speaks with some people. And it goes on to say, even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised. And this is where the word circumcision or circumcised comes up for the first time in the book of Galatians. But this is a really important topic in the book of Galatians. Titus was not forced to be circumcised, though he was Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. Okay, what is this saying? What this is saying is basically that there were people that came in and they really wanted to emphasize, in order for you to be a good Christian, you need to do these things. You need to be circumcised. And so, what is false Christianity? False Christianity is basically, with this last one, it's basically saying that you are saved by making sure that you live a good life for the rest of your life as a Christian. By focusing on that idea. And what happens when you don't do the right things? Then you begin to wonder, am I going to make it to heaven? I'm not really quite sure that I'm going into heaven because I don't feel like I'm living a good Christian life. You see, sometimes we base our Christianity on what we do. And so whenever we do that, what ends up happening is that we find ourselves feeling very tired and feeling like a hypocrite. Maybe there are times that we feel like we don't want to be at church anymore. Maybe we feel like there are people at church that are judging us. All of these feelings come about because I have this thinking that in order for me to be a good Christian and in order for me to go to heaven, I need to do these good works and I need to live as a good Christian. And that's a false Christianity. Let me say it a little bit even more deeper. Some of us, we have the idea that God will be happy with me today if I live as a good Christian, if I go to church faithfully, if I read the Bible faithfully, if I pray faithfully, or if I don't do those bad things that the Bible talks about. Then God will be happy with me. And so you feel constantly guilty, or you want to make excuses to change what the Bible says. Well, that's not the gospel. The Father in heaven is not happy with you. His happiness or his pleasure with you is not based on whether you live a good life or not. He doesn't change based on what you do. His attitude towards you is not changing. Our God is an unchanging God. God is pleased with you, but it's only through Jesus Christ. And so let's talk about what is that true Christianity? What is the true gospel that we're talking about? How is it possible that God is not changing and that he is continually pleased with us? How is it possible for us to be sure of our own salvation? Well, when we look back at the three motivations that are pointed out here in our passage today, and we're gleaning these ideas from the way that Paul was presenting. Look, I didn't get this gospel from other people. It wasn't for the purpose of trying to get approval from other people. It's not just to make sure that we're doing some good deed in order to have a good standing with God. It's not any of these things. This gospel, the true Christianity, is something that came from Jesus himself. And so when we look at all these three, what we find is that all of them, if you think about it, come from a selfish point of view. All of these things, these motivations, come from a point of view where you're thinking about yourself and you're not thinking about Jesus. Earlier we read from the passage where Paul says, you know, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the gospel. That's not what it says. It says, I'm so astonished that you're quickly deserting Jesus by believing in this false gospel. You see, when we begin to believe in this other version of Christianity where we think based on our actions, our salvation is determined. Based on our actions, God's happiness or pleasure with us is determined. When we start thinking in this way and we start to live our lives where we feel constantly guilty and we don't have peace in our hearts and we feel like everyone is judging us, it's possibly coming from a place where we're actually believing in the wrong gospel. Where we're not believing what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ. And when we do that, Paul is saying, you're not deserting just the message. You're actually deserting Jesus Christ. You're forsaking Jesus. And what you're saying is, I will be happy, I will be blessed, if only I can get the approval of people. I will be blessed if only I can feel important and accomplish important things. Or I will feel blessed if I can just live a good Christian life or a good life in general. But that's not what the gospel is. At the beginning of our passage, it says this. This is where Paul is saying hello to everyone. He starts off by saying, look, I'm Paul, and I'm an apostle, not because other people appointed me or anything like that. Jesus was the one that sent me out to be an apostle. And then he goes on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is true Christianity? Well, it starts off with this idea of grace. Grace is the idea that you have received a free gift from God. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on how good of a life you're able to live. It's not based on whether or not you're going to live a pure life. It's not based on whether or not people approve of you, or whether or not you've accomplished something so that you feel important. Grace is a free gift that's given to you. And because of this grace, this gift that God has given to us, we have peace. It's not that you have peace first and then you receive grace. That wouldn't make sense. You have peace only because God has shown his grace upon you. And the greatest gift that God gives to us is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. You know the way that we rejected Jesus Christ? For the way that we abandon the true Christianity, how we depart from the true gospel? The way that we fall into this mentality of, it really depends on me and my accomplishments and what I can do. The way that we fall into that, and we fall into sin because of that, the way that we reject our God, that is sin. But Jesus Christ, he came and he died for our sins. And what Jesus did when he died for our sins is that he actually rescues us. And he allows us to actually have a relationship with God the Father once again. When we sinned against God, we rejected God and our relationship was broken. But now what Jesus Christ did, and he made it possible for us to have a relationship with the Father once again. Again, it's not based on anything that we've done. It was based on the fact that God gave us his gift. It was God's choice. And not only that, Jesus Christ, he gave his life. It was Jesus' choice. It was not our choice. It was a gift that was given to us. And all we do is receive. And the way that we receive is by just believing. Believing and trusting that that's exactly what God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, how our God is working, has worked, and will continue to work in our lives. We trust. We believe. And this belief is not just I believe in some idea, but it's this idea that I continue to grow in believing in this. I continue to trust more and more that this is true. You know, when you first become a Christian, you might not have that assurance that you're going to go to heaven. That's okay. And that's why I said in the beginning, you might be falling into this false version of Christianity. But maybe you're still holding on to the true version of Christianity, but you're really struggling to trust in what this is actually saying. And so we don't need to feel guilty about not having assurance. That's okay. But what we want to do is we want to continue to look to Jesus Christ and trust and grow in our trust in what he's done for us. Not trust in our own works. Not trust in our own ability to accomplish something. But to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was, to be honest, I was struggling to prepare for this sermon. Not because of the content, but because I just had a lot of things to prepare for today. And I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for the sermon the way that I normally do. And so I was struggling a bit. And I was thinking about how do I talk more about this idea of believing and what it means to grow in our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yesterday, I got together with some brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the team that's going to the Philippines for our mission trip, the first one that we're going to have in a long time at Friendship Presbyterian Church. And we got together and we started talking about preparing for the children's program that we're going to try to do over there. And so I'm glad that we had that because it was through that preparation that this idea came to my mind. What is that idea? Well, yesterday we sat around together, and this is a picture from yesterday. We sat at a park, and we had a whole day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. of just training and going through different topics. And my face might look a little bit red because I think I did get a little bit sunburned from yesterday. But we got to a point where we were talking about preparing for this children's program, and we talked about different ideas, like what should we teach them? What should we talk about? And we heard from some people that know about that particular area that we're going to, we heard that the people are really poor and the children are really poor and they're always looking for food to find. They're always looking for food to eat. And so because of that, they steal. And sometimes they're mistreated. And because these children are mistreated, they have a lot of anger in their hearts. And so some people, we started talking about, you know, maybe we need to teach them about the Ten Commandments and how we shouldn't steal. And another person said, maybe we need to really show them God's love and tell them that they don't need to be angry and just help them to be relieved from their anger. And these are good ideas too. But as we kept talking about these different ideas, we came to a point where we said, you know, maybe we need to just focus on Psalm 23. And to focus on this idea of the Lord is my shepherd. You see, here's the thing. The passage in Psalm 23, if you go back and read through it again, it talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. And we won't be in need or wanting anything. We're not going to be chasing after people's approval. We're not going to be chasing after this idea of wanting to feel important. We're not going to chase after this idea of wanting to make sure that we're doing things right. We're not going to be wanting. But God is going to give us peace. He's going to make us lie down in green pastures, and he's going to lead us by still waters. He's going to bring us this sense of peace. And not only that, he's going to lead us in paths of righteousness. He's going to help us to know what the right way to go is. He's going to do all these things. But not only that, he'll even help us and guide us through when we go through our most troubled times, the times when we struggle. It talks about how he will be with us and he will guide us and he will be there even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And in that place, we don't have to fear. We're going to still experience that peace because our God is with us. And even when we're in the presence of our enemies, we don't have to be afraid that we're an enemy of God. We can know that we are God's children and we're going to be feasting with him. And we're going to enjoy having fellowship with our God. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be an enjoyable time. And you're going to be sure that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You see, this Psalm 23 is important because this is a person, excuse me, this is a person that's sure about their relationship with God. And the way that we can have this type of relationship with God, where we know God is with us, he's giving us peace, and even through the hard times, we know that God is there with us. The only way that we can have this assurance of this relationship with our God is by believing and trusting and continually turning back and realizing that Jesus has died for my sins. And Jesus has reconciled my relationship to the Father. I am a child of God. And I don't have to worry about a thing. I know my God is with me because of what Jesus Christ has done. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Believe in the true Christianity. That it's not based on your works. It's not based on what you do. Your happiness and your blessedness does not come from other people or your accomplishments. Your true happiness and blessedness, true peace and joy comes because of the grace that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for your sins and who rose again from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the revelation that you've given to us through your word, through the apostles' writings, that we are saved and that we can be happy and have peace, not because of anything that we do, but it's because of what you have accomplished for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts. Help us to grow in trusting in this truth. Help us to trust in you more and more, that it's not the things of this world that will bring us happiness. But Lord, you are the answer. You are the answer to our lives. And you're the one that will bless us, not because of what we do, but only because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.